I'm good, thanks. And you, Howard, I understand you've had some fun in the studio without me. I should be right over momentarily.
It's absolutely unacceptable that you aren't here to join us. I don't know, do you like tequila, by the way?
You know, I once had a dessert tequila, which was very, very Moorish. And you know, they say one tequila, two tequila floor. Didn't do anything for me except just made me want more. But I do loves me a nice margarita.
Well, there we go. We've got a great recipe for a margarita. I had to tell our listeners that it's not a pizza, you know, being a Jewish radio station and all. Rolene Marks, the Polish law update. Gosh, this has not been an easy week for our relationship with the Poles. Tell us where we are with this.
It's not been an easy week, and it's certainly getting uglier and uglier. The State Department in the United States has waded into the debate, and they've actually said that they are very, very concerned about the Polish law. They have said that if enacted, this draft legislation could undermine free speech and academic discourse, and we must be very careful not to inhibit discussion and commentary on the Holocaust. They've also mentioned that it is inaccurate, misleading, and very, very hurtful to the painful and complex history of the Shoah. And they use the terminology Shoah, in which 6 million Jews were systematically slaughtered by Nazi Germany. And Heather North, the department spokesperson, goes on to say that we believe open debate, scholarship, and education are the best means of countering inaccurate and hurtful speech. And just if we needed a reason to understand why education is so very, very, very important, especially now, we only have to look to Poland. And last night, Poland's interior minister had to step in at the very last moment to prevent a rally that was planned in front of the Israeli embassy in Warsaw by a neo-fascist organization who was saying that they need to show a show of force against a threat to what they say the security and interests of the state. And they said that it was a rally against anti-Polonism, which is an alleged prejudice against the Polish nation, which they see is equivalent to racism or anti-Semitism.
Wow. Absolutely unbelievable. How do you think it's going to be resolved between the Israeli government or between Jews around the world and the Polish government? How do you think it's going to end?
I think that this legislation is going to have to be outvoted. The scary thing is that with this move towards ultranationalism, especially in Europe, we might not see that happen, at least not for a while, but something is going to have to be done. Some kind of mea culpa from the Polish government, some kind of changing of the wording, some kind of major change to this legislation, because this is very, very, very painful.
Indeed, and it's quite incredible that the Polish don't seem to recognize how painful it is. It's almost like there is a complete disconnect between these two groups. They just don't seem to be getting it. Or perhaps it's cognitive dissonance and they don't want to.
I think it's a case of perhaps they don't want to. I think that, I mean, we are now nearly 80 years after the Shoah. We are losing our last living witnesses. Mm-hmm. And I think it's a profound and hurtful insult to Jews and to all victims of the Holocaust and anyone who was imprisoned in these concentration and death camps. Because let us be very clear that there was a difference between camps. There were concentration camps, there were labor camps, and there were death camps like Auschwitz, which is in Poland, or Treblinka, or other camps where Jews and other people were systematically slaughtered with the intention of eradicating them from the earth. And in order for the Nazis to roll out the final solution, they needed to have communities that were complicit in helping them carry out this most horrendous, horrendous genocide. And Poland, unfortunately for the Poles, was a country where 90% of its Jewish community was decimated and Jews that did survive and maybe attempted to go back to their homes were subject to persecution and pogroms by members of the Polish public.
Absolutely, absolutely phenomenal that this is even a story, and such a significant one it is. Greenblatt has said to the EU that settlements are not the obstacle. Finally, because if I remember correctly, it wasn't so long ago that Kerry was saying that is the problem.
Well, I think Kerry has firmly shown where his allegiances lie. We only have to look at the last resolution at the United Nations, him just a couple of weeks ago telling Mahmoud Abbas not to listen to Trump, that you proceed full steam ahead. This is just after Mahmoud Abbas' own ridiculous speech that was filled with anti-Semitic tropes. But Jason Greenblatt, the special envoy to the Middle East, has said in a conversation with EU ambassadors in Israel just yesterday that Israel has been very, very careful over the last year regarding settlement construction, and they need to look at just how much actual building is taking place, and that in his belief Israel has taken a very sensible approach on the matter. And just last March, Israel agreed to restrict building beyond the Green Line to the built-up areas of existing settlements where there's already a footprint. So this is the first meeting that Jason Greenblatt has held here with EU ambassadors, and they were also joined by the ambassadors from Canada, Australia, Norway, and Switzerland. And it's not very clear if you went on to talk about incitement being the obstacle. He did touch on it. He said that there's a lot of rhetoric coming from the Palestinian side, but it is my hope that they had more deep conversation about just how dangerous this incitement is and what happens as a result of this flagrant kind of incitement. And there is no doubt, Howard, that Jerusalem was absolutely on the table when it came to this discussion on Tuesday.
Absolutely unbelievable. The German foreign minister has a lot to say. Tell us what he is up to now.
Well, we were coughing yesterday. We wanted to know what was going on in that meeting.
We did. We were desperate.
If you're anything like me, you don't like to be left out in the dark with what's happening.
And I find all of these meetings behind closed doors with all of these politicians, it's unacceptable.
It is unacceptable. Yeah. At least tell us what you're talking about. Right. So yesterday, Sigmar Gabriel said that if there are any opponents of Palestinian statehood in the Israeli government, and if there's anyone who rejects a two-state solution, they need to ask themselves if they are willing to pay the price of perpetual occupation and conflict. So this was a very, very long speech and debate and discussion at a think tank in Tel Aviv. We don't know which think tank this took place at, but he said that he rejects Washington's recognition of Jerusalem as Israel's capital, but he says that he does defend, and he will always defend, Israel and the Jewish people's essential and historic connection to the city. And he said he's very concerned that some members of Israel's cabinet are explicitly against the two-state solution. He says, but from Germany's perspective, the two-state solution is the foundation of their engagement for any kind of peace talks between Israel and the Palestinians.
Absolutely amazing. Chelsea Football Club starts a campaign against anti-Semitism.
Well, this is a very, very positive move. I mean, we've been speaking about it, off and on for a while, the anti-Semitism that seems to manifest itself at soccer games all over the world. We've seen it in the UK, in the Netherlands, all over Europe. And now we see in London, there were 40,000 soccer fans in Stamford Bridge as Chelsea launched their campaign against anti-Semitism. So instead of the usual pre-game chants for their teams against their rivals, which sometimes includes comments like "Jews to the gas," everybody stood silent and still, and the team all held up signs that said that they are against anti-Semitism. The signs said, say no to anti-Semitism. So if anybody's on Twitter, please go to at Chelsea FC and show them your support for their Say No to Anti-Semitism campaign.
There was a recently, and I'm trying to remember it, one of the Italian soccer clubs, soccer teams that were particularly anti-Semitic, and they were trying or engaged in anti-Semitic behavior, and they were trying to eradicate that as well. I mean, is this a problem throughout the soccer, the soccer environment?
It is very, very much a problem. You know, I don't understand how the beautiful game, did I get that right? Because I know, you know, I'm not the biggest sports fan, so I need to make sure that I get my...
It's the right sport, yes.
My sports commentary good, but it is a problem. It's a problem not just with anti-Semitism, but with racism as well. And this is an attempt by Chelsea to really... you know, they're not naive. They know that they're not going to stop or rid the world of anti-Semitism, but this is their contribution to the fight against anti-Semitism. And if anybody knows Chelsea, they are owned by Roman Abramovich. He is Jewish. And if they could set an example, at least we can get society fighting against anti-Semitism.
Right. Well, I think what's so important is that soccer players are so revered, and first division soccer players particularly are so followed by their fans. And if they are standing up against anti-Semitism, whether they mean it or not, or whether they think they can eradicate it or not, at least they're showing that this is a value that the soccer club, but Chelsea itself, adheres to. So it can't be bad; it can only do good.
And also on the other side, we've had, and I really hope I get his name right, and I'm open to the hate letters if I don't, guys, because I'm not a big sports fan. Is it Lionel Messi? Well, Lionel Messi held up pictures. He was showing Israel the love. So, you know, this is important.
I believe it's Lionel Messi, but okay, it doesn't matter. I wouldn't have known to be able to correct you. Just the experts in studio seem to be pretty clear about that.
So I'm going to just let it rest at Messi. He has shown some serious love for Israel. I mean, you know, all I know about rugby is it's a game played by men with odd-shaped balls, and that is all I know.
All right, but, I think that's pretty really much it. You don't really need to know more than that. Unsigned SMS saying soccer in Europe is watched by the lowest in society, and many are hooligans. That might well be the case, but many aren't. And of course, if the players themselves stand up against anti-Semitism, it can only do good, in my view.
Absolutely. So, but I think, and this is just my opinion, and last week we encouraged people to join the We Remember campaign. I think, guys, wherever we can, we have to stand up to anti-Semitism, racism, discrimination of any kind, because it's getting to a stage in the world where it's absolutely beyond tolerable what is going on.
Amazing, and I'm just looking at a picture of Messi at the Kotel, at the Western Wall, showing his support. Really, really, really tremendous. Indeed, Rolene, if anybody, I was saying a little bit earlier when you weren't on air, I published an article in Times of Israel today. It's going to hopefully be published in News 24 tomorrow. BDS haven't reacted particularly well to the article. So, indeed, standing up is important. Sometimes it has a bit of a reaction.
Well, Howard, allow me a few minutes to sing your praises. First of all, to me, you are a warrior and a rock star, and always speak your truth. It's an exceptional article. It really, really is. It's one that packs a punch. If you haven't read it out there, go and read it immediately. It's on my Facebook page. It's on a variety of Facebook groups. How would you continue to stand up for what's right and to speak your truth?
All right. Thank
That's
you
all
very
I
much.
Can say. I really, you're my hero.
I didn't want to make it about that, but thank you very, very much. It is about the Cape Town water crisis and the BDS. I said the BDS should really take a bow because they are largely responsible, partly responsible, certainly, for the fact that the Cape Town water crisis hasn't been resolved. 2 years ago, February 2016, they managed to scupper a water conference because here in South Africa, Gaza because Israel was participating in it. 2 years later, Cape Town is about to run dry. BDS, we have you to thank for it. That's Rolien Marks with the Israel Report. You have a fantastic weekend. Shabbat shalom, Rolien, and we'll catch you on the other side. The Israel Report brought to you by the Blue Age.